Job 28. The message is entitled Wisdom from Above. The text that we'll be getting the big idea from is verses 27 and 28. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Since Job 26, Job has been responding to his three friends in a lengthy discourse about what he believes about himself and what he believes about God. In the 26th chapter, we saw that Job focused on the power of God, the greatness of God. In chapter 27, he went on to speak of his resolve to do whatsoever thing was right. Job was going to do it. He was determined to do the right thing. Job was committed to the Lord no matter how difficult, how distressing, how depressing his circumstances were. He made up his mind that he would not speak with deceit and with wickedness as long as he had breath. He resolved that he would not forsake his integrity, would not forsake his righteousness. He would not forsake a clear conscience. He was determined to walk with the Lord. Job's decision is one that we should follow in all of our lives. By the grace of God. It's only possible by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would say even the desire to want to be a man or a woman of integrity, a man or woman of righteousness. It's only the Holy Spirit that gives us that desire. But there's no room for believers for becoming stubborn, becoming silent, becoming sick of the Lord, becoming that the Lord is mundane in their lives. And in this 28th chapter of Job, Job is going to lift up the Lord. He's going to lift up wisdom. He's going to direct our attention to something that is more valuable than gold, than silver, than onyx, than sapphires, than rubies, and pearls. Men tend to believe that these things are the most valuable things in the world. They will give their lives. And the scripture says, what will it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world and forfeit their life? We will see in this chapter that these things do not bring satisfaction. What in the world is Job talking about in the text? What is so important or what is so valuable to Job in the text? And Job says it's wisdom. Wisdom is more important than anything that you can gather in this world, anything that you can store up. Wisdom will help you to avoid making stupid decisions that scar your life, leaving you with regret. How many times have you said, I wish I wouldn't have. If I only would have. Wisdom will help you to ascertain solutions to your dilemmas, to your problems. You'll sit down, you'll be able to figure things out. From a godly perspective, wisdom will help you to acknowledge what is sound, what is true, and what is deceitful, and what is destructive. As we were talking last night with our brother and sister, we spoke of truth, of wisdom. But is it simply the truth? Is it truthful? Not does it make you feel good, or do you like it when you first hear it, but is it the truth? And wisdom is the truth. Wisdom will alert you to sinful desires that will shatter your life if you indulge in them. Children that are brought up in the church, they will hear from the beginning of their lives, it is sinful to commit these sins. This is wrong. This will wreck your life, ruin your life. Adultery, sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol, stealing, lying, cheating. You're brought up on that. You're hearing this wisdom from day one. And the world's wisdom tells you all those things are fine. Just don't get locked up or lose all your money. And ultimately, wisdom is what leads you to Christ. Where all wisdom is found. All wisdom is found in Christ. Great men in the Bible were great because of the wisdom that they had from God. Wisdom from God is what makes a man or a woman great. A boy or a girl, they become great because God has imparted wisdom from them. And Job placed a premium on seeking wisdom and getting wisdom. In verses 12 and 20, he asked in our text, look at Job 28. Verse 12. But where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? Job wanted to know about wisdom. And we're going to take our time. We're going to look at this issue about wealth. The wealth of wisdom, as opposed to the wealth of this world. The prayer that should grace our lips when the sun rises from its pillow, from our pillow in the morning, should be, Lord, I need your wisdom. From the moment you wake up, Lord, I need your wisdom. I cannot live my life apart from your wisdom. Lord, give me your wisdom. Help me not to be a fool today. Help me not to be a failure. Help me not to be a fake. Lord, help me to know and to apply your wisdom. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. I remember being a child, being a teenager, what a fool I was. I thought I had all the answers, and it was just the opposite. I was a fool. And it wasn't until I woke up one morning and looked in the mirror and said, you're a fool. You're a fool. You think that you have wisdom, and all you have is wisdom of this world, which is no wisdom at all. God's wisdom is what we want. God's wisdom, first of all, is immutable. It is changeless. Immutable means it changes not. The same wisdom that Job had, you can have. The same wisdom Solomon had, you can have. That David had, that Peter had, that Paul had, that Mary had. Because the Lord changes not. He's changeless. That provides security for you and I because it's always the same. It never wavers. God never changes. The line is drawn and you know where you stand. People reject the narrow path. They say, no, it's too hard. But you know. You know the right way to go. To be able to get up and know this is the way. This is the way that I should go. And it never changes. Sin in Job's day is the same sin today. Sin in Abraham's day, in Moses' day, in David's day, in Jesus Christ's day, Paul's day, sin is the same. And God's wrath against sin is the same. He's immutable. He never changes. Hebrews 6:17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. The immutability of his counsel. God's wisdom does not change. You can have the same wisdom that anybody in the Bible had, because God changeth not. Immutable. He's also incorruptible. He's faithful. God's counsel is untampered by men. How often do you hear, well, that was a long time ago. That's the way people used to do things then, but we do things this way now. And in reality, there's nothing new under the sun. All the sins in the first century is the same as now. Thousands of years before Christ, the sins were the same now as then. But God's word is incorruptible. The same word that Job had, here we are thousands and thousands of years later with the same incorruptible word, because God is faithful. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise your name, for thou hast done wonderful things, thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. They don't change. The same wisdom that Isaiah had, the same wisdom that Solomon had, it doesn't change. God's wisdom is greater than anything else in this world. It's wonderful, Isaiah described it as. And as I prepare this message, I just look back so often as when I was a teenager. And I was like, you were such a fool, dude. And you thought you had it all figured out. Until Isaiah 28:29 becomes a reality. This also comes forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Wonderful in counsel. After you become a believer, the counselor himself, the comforter, comes and lives inside you and brings you wisdom day after day after day. Also, God's wisdom is immortal, it's indestructible. God's counsel is eternal. It will last forever. God's word doesn't change. A billion years from now, it will be the same word. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That word is never going to change. That word is indestructible. When you're in heaven a trillion years from now, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life, you'll see that word is true. And those who are in hell, that the wages of sin was truly death. And the scriptures that speak of condemnation and wrath. You will see that God's word never changes. And now you're hearing the wisdom, you're hearing it today, knowing that you don't have to be in that place. God's word is indestructible. God's word also illuminates. It illuminates, it gives you guidance and directions. You don't know what to do, God will show you if you will simply ask Him. Every morning when I open the scriptures, I say, Father, fill me with a spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and revelation and illumination. Simply ask the Lord and He will grant you illumination. He comes. Psalm 73:24, Thou shalt drive me with Thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. Whose counsel would you rather follow? Some fool that was educated in the universities of the world, the schools of the world? Is that who you would rather follow than the counsel of God? The guidance of God, the direction of God. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. I remember as a teenager, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go up? Do I go down? Maybe I do all of them at the same time. And now it's just straight ahead. As a matter of fact, it's even easier than that. The Lord said, take the next step in front of you. That's it. I was going left, right, up, down, all over. And then everything's a mess, and it's like you wonder why your life is a mess. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You can put on Oprah and every doctor, from Dr. Phil to Dr. Bob to Dr. Harry to this psychiatrist and that wacko teacher, but it says that guidance and direction comes from the Lord. I will guide thee with my eyes. Also, you want wisdom from the world, but the wicked of this world, they hate God's word. They hate God's wisdom. It's despised. Matter of fact, my brother just read about it in Proverbs. In Proverbs 1:25, it says, but you have set at naught all my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. That's the way the wicked looks at the Word of God, the wisdom that comes from God. When they hear wisdom by godly men and women, they reject it. You wouldn't have it reprove you. You wouldn't have it reprove you. Proverbs 1:30, they would have none of my counsel. They despise all of my reproof. When you tell the world, thus says the Lord, the Bible says, they look at you like you're out of your mind. And they tell you, if you believe that, you're out of your mind. The wicked base their lives on a different kind of wisdom that comes from the Word of God. The wisdom of this world. They're looking to the world for the answers. As we look at the traits of the wisdom of this world, you need to take a good look and ask yourself, are these traits in my life? As you're hearing the message, which traits are in your life? Is your wisdom coming from the Scripture, or is your wisdom coming from the world? And Father, I pray before I read these that you would illuminate the minds of the people where their wisdom is coming from. Either it's from the world or from the Word. James 3, 14 through 16. Let's look there and see a little wisdom from James. In verses 14 through 16, it says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Notice, this wisdom does not descend from above. It's of the earth. It does not descend from above. Wisdom has to come from above. In Job 28, it says that there is... Well, I'll go over there later. Let's look at James 3:14. "If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth." Ask yourself, is this you? The word envy. Envy means selfish ambition. Are you selfish? Do you have selfish ambition? Zeal? Or jealousy? Zeal, jealousy, the word envy that's used there, it means to boil, to bubble up. The word was used to describe a fanatical zeal for a cause. You ever notice when you're mad at somebody, it actually like boils in you. It boils up in you. That is not from above, the Lord says. The word bitter means harsh. When someone gets bitter, what? They pierce themselves. They build up. They build up hate for somebody else. I give you an example. This is how crazy you'll go when you hate somebody, when you have envy towards somebody. The story was told of two men. They were envious of each other and covetous of each other. The ruler of these men summoned them to grant them one wish. The first man to choose would get his wish, but the other man would get double that man's first wish. The envious man spoke up first and asked that one of his eyes be put out. The other man lost both of his eyes. Envy and bitterness hurts you as well as the other. The guy hated him, the other guy, so much he was willing to have his eye plucked out, so the other guy would lose both of his eyes. And envy and bitterness is okay in this world. Ambition is glorified. Selfish ambition is glorified. The wisdom of this world exalts man because of their selfishness. That's what the world does. It lifts up the self. It's humanism. It robs God of all the glory. And Paul made it clear that Christ is the one who is to be exalted. 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Notice, not with the wisdom of words, not with the wisdom of this world, but to preach the gospel, preach the cross of Christ, which is totally opposite than a humanistic viewpoint of this world. A humanistic viewpoint of this world is you are special, and everybody around you is less than you. You are the most important object in this world. 1 Corinthians 1:29, "So that no flesh should glory in his presence." That's wisdom. When I was a teenager, I thought I was special. As a matter of fact, I thought I was the most special person that I know. I was smarter than everybody, better looking than everybody, had more money than everybody, wiser, smarter, anything you want to add. And anybody that got in the way, envy, jealousy, bitterness. Let me ask you the question right now. Are you envious of anybody? Of anybody? For anything? I remember an old pastor that had a lot of financial, I don't want to say blessing, but the Lord provided a lot of money in the person's life. And he used to say, you know, you would think that when you were blessed, that your brothers and sisters would bless you. And it was just the opposite. Envy, bitterness. Why did they have and I don't have? 1 Corinthians 1:31, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's where we define wisdom. This world lifts up strife. Strife, extreme selfishness, contentiousness, a party spirit. Let me ask you something. Is strife the dominant thing today in the political system? I mean, I'm not a guy that gets into politics, but all you got to do is look. Oh, that's all it is strife. And James is saying that's not from above. That's in this world. All it is, you turn on any program, any time, here's the two opposing parties, and that's it. They yell and scream at each other. And nothing ever gets off. How many relationships? How many husbands and wives? Just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Strife. Philippians 2:3 though tells us this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each other esteem others better than themselves. Let me ask you something. Is that true in your life? Do you say brother, sister? Let it be about you. You be blessed. That other person. Another symptom of the world's wisdom is boasting. James says, "With the glory not." And it means to boast oneself to the injury of a person or a thing. I'm this, and I got this, and you're not that, and you ain't got this. Self-praise and strutting it around. That's basically who everybody follows with preachers today. The more boastful they are, the more the people follow them. Could it ever be, did you ever think that the reason why so many people are following that person is because they're just like them? All it is boasting. Boasting. I just get off the designer rack. I got a mansion. I got a Mercedes. I got a Lamborghini. They got a show on TV now. Don't watch it. L.A. Preachers or something like that. And all it is this guy is richer than that guy. I got more than this guy. And this guy, I mean, it's just, that's the wisdom of the world. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, you're supposed to do whatever you do to the glory of God. If you're doing whatever you do to the glory of God, you won't get offended when that other person is lifted up over you. You won't get offended when you're not recognized. You won't get offended when you're not getting patted on the back. If you're doing it to the glory of the Lord, it doesn't matter. But how often, especially people in the ministry? Well, he didn't say he loved me. He didn't say I was wonderful. He didn't say I was fantastic. That wasn't great. That wasn't tremendous. I thought you were kind of doing this for the glory of the Lord. Yeah, I've been serving for years and I was never lifted up and patted on the back and told how wonderful I was. Well, I thought you were doing it for the glory of the Lord. See? The source of the world's wisdom, look. The wisdom descendeth not from above. It does not come from above. And in Job it says that nothing comes up out of the earth. You're not going to find wisdom in the earth. It's not from above. The wisdom is not from above. It's earthly. It's from this world. And what does God say about the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? When you look at the teachings of the scripture, it is basically diametrically to oppose everything that the world teaches. Everything that the world teaches is diametrically opposed. The religious person goes to heaven, the world thinks. But the Lord says, no, it's the publican that goes to heaven. It was the one that was despised and debased in this world. He's the one going to heaven, and the religious person was going to hell. And to the one that does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteous. So let me get this straight. God's wisdom is the unrighteous, the ungodly person will be declared righteous and he's going to go to heaven. and that kind of good person, that Mother Teresa kind of person, she's going to hell? Wait a second. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right. The wisdom of the world says that's crazy. You must remember this. At the fall, all of man's faculties had fallen, including his reason. Man's wisdom comes from his reason. That's why they go, that's not reasonable to me. That doesn't make sense to me. That God would take his son and have him sent to the earth to become a man and to die for the sins of the world. That doesn't make sense. The Trinity doesn't make sense. Reason says that's crazy talk. You have to remember that reason is fallen and you will never come to the truth by your reason. You may come to the truth of 1 and 1 equals 2, but you'll never come to the wisdom of God through the reason of this world. The world's reason is humanistic. And it basically says what? Do your own thing. It's your life. If it feels good, do it. Just listen to any commercial, and basically the hook, the theme always is, because you deserve it. Because you deserve it. That's the wisdom of the world. You worked hard, you deserved it. Matter of fact, if you didn't even work at all, you deserve it too. You deserve it just because you were born. You deserve it. That's the wisdom of this world. Never forget, the wisdom of this world is sensual. Why do you think all the ads are the way they are? James says it. That kind of wisdom is demonic. It doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from the world. It's animalistic. It's natural. The sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion. What do you think the Madison Avenue people are playing on? They're as wicked as you are. They understand. Sex sells. And James says, that's the wisdom of the world. That doesn't come from him. It's devilish. It's demonic. It drives people apart, not together. Why do you think in Romans chapter 1, Paul spends so much time about worldly thinking? First of all, in Romans 1, he says, in verse 22 of Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are a fool. You are a fool. And the reason why you're a fool, because you reject God and you make your own gods, Romans 1:23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You change the true God into another God. And that's the essence of humanism. You become that God. You are that God. And then you make gods of all the people and the things that are around you. That you reject God, you make your own gods. And then Romans 1:24 says, the wisdom of the world causes you to dishonor your body. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The wisdom of this world causes you to lose common sense, believing lies and rejecting truth. In Romans 1 verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They worshipped the creature. Whatever that creature is, whoever that creature is, be that creature your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, your father, your dog, your cat, your rat, your fish, whatever it is, you change the worship of the Creator into the worship of the creature. When people read that, they think, oh, well, that's, you know, people in Africa with totem poles, or the Indians, they had the totem poles. You know, we don't worship that. God says, no, you do. You worship the creature rather than the Creator. And therefore you have become a fool. You've changed the truth of God into a lie. We see the symptoms and the sources of worldly wisdom all around us. Look at the effects and the consequences of worldly wisdom. Ask yourself, is this not true of me at some point in my life, or maybe true of you right now if you're following the wisdom of this world? James 3, verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, notice, confusion and every evil thing is there. Confusion and every evil thing. As I said, when I was an unbeliever, I turned to the right, I turned to the left, I turned up, I turned down. It didn't matter. It was confusion, it was strife. Why? Because I was following the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of this world said, get plenty of money, get plenty of fame, and you get it all. And it's like, you got it all, right? You got all the evil that come along with it. It says confusion. Instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, commotion, disarray, rebellion, anarchy, or confusion. Kind of sounds like our country, doesn't it? Sounds like many marriages. Sounds like many churches, for that matter, too. This is what happens when we get bitter and jealous. Confusion results when our ideas and our plans blow up in smoke and our lives fall apart. Like I said, you don't know if you're turning to the left. You turn it to the right. You've taken this world's wisdom. You thought that you would find success, find happiness in this world's wisdom. And all you found is bitter and envy and strife and confusion. And your life is a disaster zone. As opposed to you heard the gospel. You heard that you need to repent. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you rejected that in the ways of God. God is not mocked. His wisdom will satisfy you. His wisdom will bring you joy. It will bring you peace. It will bring you eternal life. It will bring you all the things that this world does not bring you. Look also about strife. When envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Every good for nothing, every worthless, every wicked thing is there. When we're consumed with jealousy and bitterness, we become focused on the trivial and we end up wasting our lives on that which is worthless and good for nothing. We're offended by every little thing that a person does when we hate their guts. You ever notice this? Like, how did I offend that person? Well, you look to the left or the right, and they took that as, you know, some against you. Because of envy and strife. Evil, every kind of evil is at work. And like I said, this sin is dominant in the church. Because there's a lot of humanism coming out of the pulpit that lifts up man. There's envy, there's strife, there's selfish ambition. Worldly wisdom produces trouble and waste. When we have wrong thoughts, it produces wrong living. Why do you think that Scripture is the way laid out that it, the way it is? That it teaches doctrine. That it lays out indicatives. Now, these are the imperatives. It tells you how to live your life. It's laid out. And when you don't follow it, it results in wrong actions, wrong living, wrong attitudes. You're rejecting the wisdom of the Scripture. The wisdom's laid out for you, and you say, I'm going to reject that. And what happens? Cain kills Abel. Absalom wants to kill his daddy. Haman winds up in the gallows. Envy causes the religious leaders to murder Jesus Christ. Envy, strife, every evil thing. Now these are sins people don't even talk about. Envy, strife, I mean, you know. Don't do the nasty nine maybe people talk about. Envy and strife. Every kind of evil thing is there. People always will, you know, money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But it definitely says what? Envy and self-seeking exist. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. And it's so easy to be envious of other people. Strife. So you say, all right, Bill, this is true. I'm envious. I'm wicked. All these things exist in my life. How do I go about getting God's wisdom? I want to know God's wisdom. I'm going to repent of my own wisdom today. Job stressed this at the end of Job 28. Look at Job 28 with me. You want wisdom? Come on. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your faith in Him today. If you're a Christian, then make the Lord the priority of your life. The wise person will walk with God. God's the source of all true wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord. It was the fear of the Lord. People, you can't even preach the fear of the Lord today. The fear of the Lord, you cannot preach, you can't preach hell, you can't preach condemnation. Tell people about the love of the Lord. It doesn't say the love of the Lord there. It says that the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is where wisdom comes. The fear of the Lord is produced by the law being preached. And you see that you're a sinner and you will be damned to hell for all eternity for your sin. And not because you didn't hear about Jesus. As people say, well, you can't condemn the people in the jungle. They didn't hear about Jesus. They're not condemned for not hearing about Jesus. They're condemned because of their sin. And when you hear about your sin and that you're accountable to God and God will judge you for every word, thought, and deed that you've ever committed and that there's a hell and that you're condemned, it is supposed to cause a fear in you. You are supposed to be terrified of the wrath of God. You are supposed to be like the people in the book of Revelation. They're crying for the mountains to fall down on them. For the wrath of the Lord has come upon them. When you hear of hell and eternity in hell, it is to make your knees shake. It is to terrify you, to scare you, to beat you down of your pride, of your own worldly wisdom, of your own self-seeking, your own ambition, and to cause you to cry out to this gracious, merciful God who sent His Son, that He demonstrated His own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But you first have to hear the fear of the Lord. You have to be fearful that this great God that has blessed you all your life has told you to repent and to believe in His Son, and you refuse to do it. You've taken all He's ever given you, all the eyesight, the ears that you could hear, all your taste buds, all your relationships, all your family, all your friendships, all your food, all the sunshine, all the water, everything He's given you in common grace, everything in your life. And you've taken it for granted, and you said, that still ain't enough. I want even more from you. And I deserve more from you, after all, because I'm special. Instead of humbly bowing before the Lord Jesus Christ and being like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Or as the publican, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's the beginning of wisdom. If you have never come to Jesus Christ, if you're not a child of God, you're a fool. And you could say, I said it, but the Bible says it. And I did say, you're a fool. And I said, when I looked in the mirror that day, I said, now that's a fool standing back at me in that mirror. And it wasn't until then, humbly, that I said, look, I'm a fool. This ain't working. I don't want to go to hell. I've sinned against you. I've done wrong. I've committed so many sins, Lord. And then Romans 4 says, unto the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So now I'll give you eternal life. See, there's the beginning of wisdom starting to dawn on a soul that's been awakened. But first it was the fear of the Lord. Wisdom from above. Not wisdom from this earth. All kinds of evil. How do we get right with God? How about having good relationships with the right kind of people? There's nothing more blessed than the fellowship of the saints. when I wasn't a Christian, I didn't want anything to do with a Christian. It's like, are you out of your mind? Those people are wackos, man. Hanging out with Christians. You've got to be out of your mind. What would you want to do with a Christian? Then you become a child of God, and then it's like, that's your brothers and that's your sisters. And the strange thing is you find yourself loving your brothers and sisters more than your own physical blood relatives. Because your blood relatives that are not chosen of God, they're going to hell. That relationship with your blood relatives is going to come to an end. A million years from now, you ain't going to be looking back at mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa and your kids and your... It'll be your brother and your sister in Christ. Right relationship with the right kind of people. Right relationship with Scripture. See, these are the ways you gain wisdom. First of all, a right relationship with the Lord. Secondly, a right relationship with the right kind of people. I didn't start acquiring wisdom, first of all, when I repented. Then after I repented, I began to go to church. And then I began to be around the brethren and listen to the preacher and my brothers and sisters that are around me. Right relationships with the right people, what? You have a right relationship with the Scripture. God gives direction and wisdom to His Word. He's the wonderful counselor, Isaiah 9:6. 2 Timothy 3:15. Listen very closely, children. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. See? The children that are raised in the faith. You've heard the word from the beginning. A child that has known the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Notice where the wisdom comes from. From the Scriptures. We're to seek the Lord's will first, then make our plans. How do you find the Lord's will? Through the Scriptures. If you don't know the Scriptures, how in the world are you going to find out His will? How are you going to find it out? We have to recognize what true wisdom is. We have to have a proper perspective of what true wisdom is and where you get it. We're not to base our lives. Let me ask you this question. We're not to base our lives or decisions on soap operas, network news, broadcasts, television talk shows, unbelieving psychiatrists, unsaved guidance counselors at school, carnal unbelieving friends at work. Which of the two categories are you in? Are you getting your wisdom? Hey, you're at the supermarket. Hey, let me see what the Daily Mirror or Cosmopolitan got to say. 20 tips on how to... Where's your wisdom coming from? The foolishness that's coming out of that blue box that's looking back at you? The radio? The ads? I mean, where are you getting your wisdom? From that unsaved person? Your unsaved neighbor, your unsaved friends at school. I mean, where's your wisdom coming from? First of all, it comes from the Bible, and secondly, it comes from those that are in the faith. That's where wisdom comes from. Where is your wisdom coming from? When you open up a book, because most of the books, you open up the Bible and books that are related to the Bible, or the books you open up for secular books. Where are you getting your counsel from? Wise counsel. True wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19 couldn't put it any plainer than this. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord kind of gets a kick out of, oh, you're so smart. You got it so figured out. That's the very day I'm going to take you down in. You ever notice that the people that were so smart in finances... Well, what was the thing that took him down? The finances. Madoff with the money, and he spent the rest of his life in jail. His son committed suicide, and it goes on and on and on. The very thing, you were crafty, you were sly. You had it all figured out. You acquired all the wealth. It was the wealth that took it down. The wisdom of this world, God says, He takes the wise man in their own craftiness, their own plans. The very thing you think you got it all figured out about is the very thing He'll take you down about. I tell you, the very things that I boasted in that I thought I was right on about, those were the very things that the Lord said, smash it, crash it, beat it down, smash that thing over there. How do you know if you're living your life by God's wisdom? The Bible gives us insights into what a person is like when they have godly wisdom. If you want to know if you're wise or not, then examine the list and ask yourself the question, does this describe me? Alright? Ask yourself this question. You're either a fool or you're wise. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Do you want counsel from other people? People that are in the family of God? Or is your counsel coming from an unsaved person, the wisdom of this world? The fool doesn't learn from their mistakes. They don't listen. They don't put in practice the wealth of the wisdom that God has offered to him in the treasure chest of his word. You don't know how many times I've said to the Lord, Lord, please, I don't want to go back down that path. I've learned my lesson. Have you learned your lesson? That you just keep, you say, why am I doing the same thing over and over and over? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Wise counsel. Do you take wise counsel? Let me ask you this question. And this is happening to you today, right here at this gathering. Wise people accept rebuke. See? They accept rebuke. Proverbs 9:8-9 says this, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You want to know if you're following the wisdom of this world? You're mad at me right now. For rebuking you, for telling you what the scripture says. See, the one that is wise, he'll love you. He'll say, thank you, brother, I needed that. I needed to hear that in that area I'm playing the fool. I needed to hear that. But the scorner will hate you. They will not like you. They will get mad. How dare you say that? That's wrong. How can you? And somebody's saying, hey, that's what the Bible says. You want to know if you're wise? Do you take correction from those who are in authority of you? I mean, that is just rampant today. Don't you tell me what to do. Do you take correction from your parents, from your boss, from your teacher, from your coach, from your pastor? If you're constantly mad at reproof and direction, it's a good indication that you're a scorner. Don't you tell me. Hi. You're a scorner, the Bible says. This word scorner means to make mouths out, to talk arrogantly, to boast, to scoff, to mock, to be inflated, to have a big, fat head. You can't get through to that big rock head of yours. I got all the answers. I know everything. You don't know nothing. Even today, you're hearing the message. You can't say that. Who are you to say that? That's wrong. I don't want to hear that. The wise person acknowledges and receives God's wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. All I did is open up the Bible to you and say, the Bible says, the Bible says. Men struggle to acknowledge God today, yet alone. Acknowledge or accept his wisdom. They struggle to acknowledge. And yet they just can't do it. They think I have all the answers. All the answers. Let me ask you this simple question. Are you teachable? Are you willing to follow the wisdom of God's word? The biggest problem that I have today with people is they refuse to be discipled. They refuse to be discipled. You ain't gonna tell me. Okay. We'll get to it. See you later on down the road. Maybe we can talk again. Like the guy came to me one time at like 2 o'clock in the morning in the dark. They used to mock and laugh and scorn. Hey, you're a preacher. Can I talk to you? After all hell broke loose in his life. 2 o'clock in the morning, hiding in the dark like a coward. Hey, preacher. Can I get that wisdom now? It's like, yeah, you can get it now, but, you know, could have saved yourself a whole lot of pain and misery. But then again, that's usually what happens with most of us. You kind of got to find out on your own. How many times I was given wisdom. That's still given wisdom by the Lord today, and it's like, all right, don't do it. See you later on. It's like, Lord, why did I do that? Why did I listen to you? Are you teachable? Are you teachable? The wise person retreats from evil. When you're hearing all these sins, or everything that's demanded of you by the Lord, if you're a child of God, you flee. You put it into practice. That's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing it, and wisdom is putting into practice what you know. A wise man is cautious, avoids dangers and evil. Fools, on the other hand, are arrogant and careless. You ever notice people riding down the road on a motorcycle 120 miles an hour? They're being reckless. They're arrogant. And how often that's what we do with the Lord. We're just racing down the road. We're not cautious. We're not avoiding danger. Especially when you're young, you think you're invincible. You can do whatever you want. Samson thought he was that way too. He liked to play with the honeys, like the girls. They wound up tied up, eyes gouged out. Lord used him the last day of his life, basically. You know, if you don't want to accept the wisdom of the Lord, then maybe the Lord will use you the last day of your life. He'll give you a prison ministry. Or will you heed the wisdom that you hear now and depart from evil? Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. You ever see how the world is so confident? Oh, I'll make that deal. I got that all wrapped up. I know that's going to happen. 5 years from now, I'm going to do that. 20 years from now, I'm going to go do this. God says, don't even make no plan for tomorrow. What you going to do tomorrow? Another thing a wise person does is relieve the wrath of other people. You ever notice how people just stir the kettle up? As opposed to a wise man relieves the wrath of another. Proverbs 16:14, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. That's why the scripture says, blessed is the peacemaker. See, a wise person go, oh, let's try to work this out. Let's nip this in the bud right now. Whereas the fools be like, yeah, you're right, man. You're right. They should have. And then they run across the street and be with the other person. Yeah, that's right. You should have. Instead of, let me get in the middle of these two knuckleheads and see what I can do. Let me be a peacemaker. The wise person refrains from speaking his or her mind at the wrong time. How many times have I heard, I just had to speak my peace. I had to make it known. I had to let them know. But Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. I had to just tell you that. I had to just, as the old saying, I had to get it off my chest. And in the process of getting it off my chest, I stuck a knife in yours. Just had to get it off my chest. Can't guard the tongue. Fools let their tempers fly without any restraint. All of a sudden, just shoots out of the mouth. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, there is no lack of sin. But he that refrains from his lips is wise. Did you ever hear that person that just cannot shut up? The Bible says, in that person, there's a multitude of sins. They're doing so much talking, they don't even understand they're sinning while they're talking. That's why the Lord gave you two ears and one mouth, so you can listen twice as much as you speak. So quick to chirp and chirp and chirp. When words abound, transgressions are inevitable, but the one who refrains his words is wise. Do you know how to bite your tongue and keep your mouth shut at the proper time? Or do you just run off at the mouth? I just can't shut up. I just can't shut up. The wise person avoids and restrains from arguing with a foolish man. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. That's what Proverbs 29:9 says. The wise person respects God's word. The wise person has a righteous attitude and actions. The wise person is a reliable person. The wise person, he asks and requests wisdom from the Lord. A wise person accompanies and relates with other wise men. If you meet a wise man or woman, I guarantee you they walked with other wise men and women. One of the old preachers said, if I can see far, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. That's what the old preacher said one time. Who do you walk with? Never forget the old adage, assimilation to acquaintance, by acquaintance. Those that are your acquaintances, you will assimilate to them. You will become like them. We're to be in the world, but not of the world and like the world. We have to witness to the pagan, but you don't have to act like the pagan. What kind of people do you walk with? Where do you find your wisdom? That's why I said, when you open up books, you're either receiving the wisdom that comes from God through the scripture, or if you're reading godly men and women, they're writing books that are bringing forth truths of the scripture. So where's your wisdom coming from? From Red Book? From Cosmo? Where's your wisdom coming from? Who are you walking with? A wise person, they have a burden to reach others for Jesus Christ. The wisest thing that you could do. Lead others to Christ. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. You're wise. Let me tell you, there's nothing that thrills the soul outside becoming Jesus Christ, one of Jesus Christ on. There's nothing like winning a soul to Jesus Christ. And then if you're blessed to be able to disciple that same person, there's nothing quite like that. There's no greater feeling in this world. He that wins souls is wise. A wise person assists and reassures his family. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes the glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. How true is that? That parents will actually say to themselves, you know, I wish that kid was never even born. That kid is such a thorn, such a pain in my side. I wish that child was never even born. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman builds a house, but the fool plucks it down with her own hands. How many women have torn down their homes because of adultery? The house was built, foolishness, tore it down, ruined their life, ruined their family's lives, ruined everything. Remember, the words of an old hymn, where real wisdom is found. How great thou art. The words in there says, and when I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. I can't believe it. That God would send his own son to die. I preached on that one time and said, I could never think of having my daughter go up to the gates of the city and being slaughtered on a pole for the guy that hated my guts. I can't comprehend that. It doesn't make sense to me. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. For you that would think that you could save yourself, then God was a fool to send forth His Son to die on the behalf of sinners. Sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden, gladly bearing, on the cross. See, that's an offense to this world. What do you need a cross? What do I need a cross for? What do I need blood on the cross? What do I got to appease the wrathful God for? Why? That God is vindictive. That God is mean. How could He do that? That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. That's where real wisdom is found. The fear of the Lord causes you to say, hey, God had to send His Son to die for me, a sinner. And I better get something done about this, or there's going to be serious consequences. You become fearful. I've offended this thrice holy God. I've sinned. The wages of sin is death. But God demonstrated His own great love for us, and that we were, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's not the wisdom of this world. That wisdom can only come from above. And in closing, let's get back to Job 28 to show you about this wisdom. Look at Job 28. As I said, this wisdom only comes from above. And that's because of, look at verse 28. I'm not sorry, chapter 28 of Job, starting at verse 12. But where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Verse 13. Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. See, wisdom is not found in the land of the living. They went on in the beginning of the chapter about gold and silver and digging up mines and digging for the rubies and emeralds and all of this. And God's saying, listen, wisdom is not of this world. It's not from the land of the living. It comes from above. It's revealed from God. God in His grace and mercy first came to Adam and Eve, and He revealed His wisdom to them. God is a revelatory God. He reveals from above. Wisdom cannot be found in the land of the living. Look what it goes on to say. Notice all the negatives here. Man does not know, nor is it found. It is not in me. It is not with me. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be valued in the gold. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged. No mention shall be made, nor can it be valued. It is hidden from the eyes of all the living. See all those negatives? It's not there. Wisdom is not there. It's not in the land of the living. It's from above. Wisdom comes from above, revealed by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And notice, it's hidden. It's hidden. But it's hidden from the eyes of all living, it says in verse 21. But the good news is this. Look at Luke 4, in closing. Even though it would be hidden, even though it's not to be found in the land of the living, Jesus Christ, the one who we love and adore and worship, tells us in Luke 4, verses 16 through 19. So He came to Nazareth, speaking of Jesus Christ, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and He stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Notice what Jesus Christ is using. He's using the book. He's using the word. He will proclaim the word. The word is where you will find the wisdom. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. See, the Lord revealed the wisdom of the Lord through the scripture. He revealed it to those in the synagogue that day. He said, listen, you're not going to find wisdom in the land of the living. Wisdom comes from above. It comes from my Father, who has revealed his will through the scripture. He's revealed his will through the scripture, and his will is that you would believe in his Son for eternal life. That is the wisdom from above. The wisdom of this world says, you can be religious. That'll get you to heaven. The wisdom of this world says, everybody goes to heaven. Or maybe a couple bad people like Hitler or maybe Mussolini or something, but everybody goes to heaven. The wisdom of this world says there's many roads to God. All roads lead to God. But the Bible says there's a narrow way. There is one way. And the Lord in the text that I just read from Isaiah, he said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the day of salvation. Right now you're hearing the word of the Lord and you are faced with eternity. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep on your foolish path and in the end go straight to hell? Or will you say, yes, I'm going to heed the words of the scripture. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I will be saved. Which is it going to be? See? That's almost like Count Arminian in his concept. What's it going to be? See? Are you going to come to Jesus Christ today? I mean, the wisdom of the world, you know what the wisdom of the world says? Listen, this is Christmas time. We're going to put plastic things on our porches, on our lawns. We're going to give a bunch of gifts to each other. We're going to do all these festivities, and we're going to exclude the one that we say it's all about. That's about Jesus Christ. The wisdom of this world says we don't need Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that we do need Jesus Christ. That all wisdom is found in Christ. It says that in Corinthians. That in Christ is wisdom, sanctification. All things are found in Jesus Christ. Everything is about Jesus Christ. There's something about that name. When you whack your thumb with a hammer, you don't yell Buddha. Jesus Christ falls off a person's lips. All of history focuses around Jesus Christ. People went into the Colosseum singing Jesus Christ. People are tortured to this day in many lands throughout the world because of Jesus Christ. What is it about this Jesus Christ, this Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years ago? What is it about him? Could it be that all wisdom that has ever been revealed from heaven is ultimately to point you to Jesus Christ? And I would say that because in Colossians it says all things are created by him and through him and for him. And I would have to say the word is one of them all things. From in the beginning, God, to the very last word of Revelation. Amen. It's all pointing to Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God, what? God's eventually going to reveal the Savior to the world. And the amen in the scripture is, that's a wrap, people. Those that have rejected Christ, hell for all eternity. Those that have repented and believed in his name, everlasting life with him.